You are listening to the Legal Community Podcast, hosted by Guy Remond and Dave Zampano, powered by Guider. Guider provides self-service online legal documents supported by your local attorney. Fast, affordable, and in your own time. For more information and resources, please visit guider.legal and enjoy the show.
Hello everyone, and welcome to the Legal Community Podcast. I'm Lisa Rozier, and as always, we have Guy and Dave with us today. We've kind of been on this whole marketing, branding, advertising the past few episodes, and it seems natural progression to start talking about sales and mindset that goes into it. And particularly, Dave, being so heavy in the legal industry, let's talk about the sales process in your world.
It's funny because I'm in the estate planning industry, estate planning, elder law, and asset protection. And you say the word sales and all the attorneys in the room cringe. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, we don't sell. Oh my, you know. Then you contrast that with litigators, right? And they're probably one of some of the most powerful advertising sellers who are jumping down your throat, you know, when you yawn. And I love that dichotomy because it shows the difference in the whole industry and law. But here's what I would say. Whether you're an aggressive salesperson, or whether you're a timid salesperson, my proposition is everything in life we do is a sale. Think about your spouse. Think about your friends. Everyone you've ever had as a friend or relationship really was the result of you selling yourself in some way, shape, or form. So I know people like to hear that. Well, I didn't sell. I'm just, you know. Yeah. Good luck with that. In theory, what school you go to, everything is about sales. One of the things I learned a long time ago, and this is, I think, the most important thing in sales, and this is what gets lost. Someone told me once, and ever since they told me 28 years ago, I have found it always to be true. Buying is an emotional decision. It's not a rational decision. It's not a logical decision. People spend more time and energy on the color of their car and the emblem on the front of it than they do on its safety features or its gas efficiency or anything else. And so it's about, oh, we just love that. And I don't mean to be, this is going to be sensitive, but the perfect example is the funeral directors, right? Mom just died, dad just passed away. You don't want a half-baked casket for your loved one. You want this beautiful, right? And I meet people who spend $20,000, $30,000 on a funeral. And then I have people who have it paid by the state for $3,500. And I can't tell the difference. I've been to both. But again, buying is emotional, but selling, everything we do is a sell from the first time we say hello. Now, that being said, in Lawyers of Purpose, and that's my reference, we train lawyers, we have never sold a thing. And we train our lawyers, you never have to sell a thing. Your products will sell themselves. And we do it through a process called education. So I'm using that as a kind of a case study. When you educate people, we always say we never tell anyone what to do. We tell them what they can do, and we have them choose what's best for them. It's about, though, getting an upfront agreement. And there's a lot of sales systems out there, different sales systems that talk about the upfront contract and things of that nature. But you just have to set yourself up front and say, here's what I tell my folks who are more timid and adamant. I'm like, well, do you think people are just stopping your busy lives to talk to you because they don't need it? They really need this. And the question is, our job is to find out what they need. What is it that's going to solve their problem? If you identify their pain points and their needs, they will hire you if you could offer them a reasonable solution and a reasonable price. A couple of things I'll say, and I'm going to kick it over. One of the best books I ever wrote and I ever read was Ted Holmes International on Selling, one of the greatest books. They did a multi-million-dollar study, which, again, talked about at any given point in time, 3% of the marketplace needs what you have, 3%. So if there's 100 people in the room, 3%, three of the people in the room need it. There were seven other people in the room, 7% that will need it in the next 30 days. They just didn't know it. And then the last 90%, 30% don't need it. 30% may not need it, but they would consider it. And 30% actually do need it, but they didn't even know to consider it. There is at all times about 40% of the population that's going to need what you have now or within the next 30 days, or if they knew what you were offering. Lisa, your thoughts.
Dave, those are all great statistics. I just want to pull back to the conversations where people are, I'm not a salesperson. I've always thought of it as this, right? Mindset. lawyers might not think that they're a salesperson, but they're passionate about the work that they're doing. That's why they got into that area of law, right? So by the time they go through and the proper leads and people get in front of them, they're just talking to them, right? Their passion, they're educating, it's their mindset. They got to get rid of that word.
I want to turn that around, and I want to say it's the opposite too. If you're not energetic about it, if you're not excited about it, why in the hell would the prospect be?
Exactly. Right?
If you don't believe
in it, and
you're
not talking about
it, if you're being shy about it, they're going to think, well, he doesn't think it's that big a deal. Well, why should I? Maybe I'm overthinking this, right?
Right.
So, yeah, I believe sales is just doing what you normally do. But Guy, our contrarian of the podcast, I just want to say, when I first met Guy, understanding that he built a very successful business that was sold off, he told me this statement, and I can't believe it. So now that we have a podcast, he's going to actually be able to explain it. Guy said to me, Dave, I've never had a salesperson. All right, give me the magic button, Guy. How do you do it, never having a salesperson?
Pause that, Dave, because the book, was it called The Ultimate Sales Machine?
Yeah, it's The Ultimate
Sales Machine. Yeah, by Chet Holmes.
Yeah.
There you go. Just looked up while you were talking.
Yeah, yeah. Great book. Recommended highly. They had a great training series too. Right, and you can read about the study in there as well.
Excellent. Listen, before we get down to things like choosing the color of your car and the price and everything, I always think that people buy people.
Absolutely.
Business is all about people. I will pay more and buy from somebody I like. I'll worry less about cost. I'll worry less about other things if I believe that person is going to look after me in the way that I want to be looked after. And that's more important to me than any other consideration. So a couple of quick examples. You know, even though Tesla, when it first came out, was predominantly actually online sales. So when it came to the UK, we had one service center, one sales showroom in London, right? And I'm in Manchester. And, you know us Brits, we don't like to travel far. We think 3 hours in the car is a long way. And you guys do that before breakfast.
You're right, we do.
But I was willing to buy a $100,000 car online without ever having driven it. Mm-hmm. And the reason I was willing to do that was I'd bought into the Elon Musk and his mission and what he was about, and the reviews and everything that I'd read about the car prior to me ordering it. So I didn't test drive it. The car I've got now, the Porsche Taycan, I didn't test drive that. I bought it 3 months before it arrived in the UK. I'm doing it on reputation. I'm doing it on speaking to the people like Elon Musk's reputation. In the case of the Porsche, I did it on reputation of the company, but also on the person I met in the showroom. So my point being that people buy into people, whether that be by reputation or whether that be in person. And I think first and foremost, that is the key to it. So I 100% agree, Lisa, with what you just said, that sales is actually a mindset. If you get rid of the word sale and just be passionate about what you do and really believe in what you do when you're talking to people, you will sell.
It's funny, guys.
It's the number one.
In lawyers of purpose, we don't call it a sales system. We call it a client enrollment system. Because you're just enrolling them into what they need. It's our job to show them the value we can provide, like Elon Musk is doing and like your Porsche dealer did. It's our job to show the value. What is the value prop to them? And one of the things that I highlight here, I think that's really important, is to beware of the dollar shoppers. Their number one job, when they come in, they feel, unless they get you down on your price or make it about the money. I'll give you a perfect, just cute little funny story. I have a double jet ski trailer, an extra one that I was selling, and it's probably worth about $1,200. So I listed it for, you know, $1,100, and my son did it for me. And he got said, Dad, this woman said she'd take it for $600. She got another one available for $600. And would we take six? And I said, reply to her, well, you should probably run and get that one really quick. That's a really good deal. That right there, I taught my son a valuable lesson. Say, wow. Sounds like price is really important. Well, here's how it works here. I don't know. If you want the price, this is the cheapest. The sad part is that it may not do what you want. Again, I've had people with $2 million estates opt for a $995 estate plan. And I've had people with $200,000 estates opt for a $10,000 estate plan. Because when they understand the value proposition, I think that's a differentiator. And you never let price become the issue. What we do is we just anchor them back. Well, at that price, you'd have to give up the power seats, and the moonroof. So if you want to give that up, don't ask me for the Cadillac at the Chevy price, right? So you tell me what you want, and I'll give it to you. But don't ever get in a sales fight with people, a dollar amount, yeah, things like that.
It's always about the value proposition. 100% agree with you, Dave, there. So just going back, because you introduced me, and I think a lot of what you said was right. So I did build a multi-million pound company in the UK that didn't have a sales team. But what I would say is that it didn't mean to say we didn't have a sales process, because we did. We just didn't have sales people. And we touched on this in the last podcast. So, you know, I talked about doing podcasts and doing user groups and going to conferences and sharing our expertise to our technical community. And that built our reputation, built our brand, and people came to us. So when somebody comes to us, you still need to have a process to get to the sale. We did have a sales process. We just didn't have sales people. We effectively had an account manager who was responsible for closing the deal and then running the account on an ongoing basis. That's the way we worked it. And it was all because a third of my team were actively, when I say actively, at least once a month, doing a podcast, doing a blog, doing a talk at a conference, doing a talk at a user group, actively talking about their passion and going back to the people by people thing. People would listen to the talk conference and then come. And then they're going up at the end of the conference. There's always a load of people that go up to a speaker at the end of a conference and have a chat with them, because they like doing that, right? And then generally after that, because they're not salespeople, so they didn't have a handout business card, they didn't give those people business cards because they weren't salespeople. But that was enough for them then to pick up the phone or go to our website or email us or whatever and get in touch. And once they got in touch, and I'm almost there, Dave, once we got in touch, yeah, the initial filter had already happened because they wanted the services that we offered. They fully understood what our value proposition was at that point. They knew what we were good at. So really, the only thing we had to do to close the deal was to agree commercial terms. Now, the benefit of that is that you can actually charge a higher day rate and therefore a higher dollar value for the project, because you are seen as experts. You've already demonstrated that you are the experts in this particular area. So you can charge a healthy amount. You're not going to rip people off or anything like that, but you can charge a good amount. And it goes back to your point, Dave, that if people come in and want something for £3.50 when it's worth £20, we weren't interested. But we were interested in people who genuinely wanted our experts to help them build some software, and because that's what we were really good at.
I was really anchoring the guy's comment about process, because this is a way to take the last several podcasts and bring them together. We work so hard to do marketing and to create a brand. When we create a brand and we get marketing, and then we even may do advertising, as we've talked about in the last three podcasts, they lead to sales. But do they? No. What they do is they lead it to a lead, which means somebody calls you or somebody does your call to action. So I think one of the biggest mistakes I see people make is they fail to have a call to action. I talk to people all the time. They do workshops and they don't get an evaluation at the end of the workshop where they check the box for an appointment. I'm like, well, go home and be with your kids. Why would you go out and do a presentation and not find out who was in the audience and find out if they want an appointment? They're all there for a reason, right? So you have to have the call to action. But here's what most lawyers don't really appreciate. When that phone call happens, everything you've done in your branding and in your marketing and your advertising is not sales. Sales happens when the person calls. All that works leads to leads. That's hello or hi, this is a voicemail. Sorry, we really don't value you enough to talk to you live. So we'll call you when we get a break. Now, I know that's not what the voicemail says, but that's what the listener hears, isn't it? You ever hear that? I say to me today, if I call my office and there's voicemail, I'm like, what in the world? Why would I ever do that, right? Sales is everything you do from the hello. One thing I'm going to just make another distinction, particularly with lawyers, is what are you selling? So Guy says so beautifully, it's about relationship, right? People will pay more if they trust you. I know people that say, Dave, whatever it is, I don't care. I just trust you. And when people trust you, I tend to even be more concerned about what I'm charging them, right? Because I want to be fair. But here's one thing in the law that I've always thought was a failed model, the hourly rate. Here's what it works. If it takes me 10 hours, I'm $300 an hour. You know what that tells me? And I'm going to say this, it's rude. I'm sorry, lawyers. The dumber you are, the more it costs me, right? I'm dumb. It takes me twice as long as the other guy. You're paying me twice as much. that just is not a model that sells. People can't. What we have been very successful in our model is not flat fee model. That's not the right value either, because how most lawyers screw that up and say, okay, this typically takes me 10 hours and my hourly rate is $250. So I got a flat rate of $2,500. And then they got 22 hours into it and they're losing their shirt. The real and best value and sales approach is what we call the value-based billing model. In our process, and again, back to that magic word process guide, when people come through, we identify a series of issues. They identify the issues they want to solve, and then we identify options. One of the things that Chet Holmes' strategy said is the five most important reasons people buy from you. Number one is they need it. They have to be convinced that you're able to provide the service at the level for them to derive the benefit, right? So A is they have a need for it. B, they have to be convinced you'll provide it at a level for them to derive the benefit. The third most important element of buying, I'm doing this off memory now, that they have to trust your customer service. And the study said customer service was individually valued by every person. It couldn't be quantified in any categories or groups. So it was based on how every individual felt your customer service was. Fourth most important option in the buying decision was, do you have options? People like to have options, no more than three, but just a one horse trick, 20 doesn't work. You should have a couple options. The fifth most important reason why people bought was price. And what kills me is 99% of attorneys I work with will fight over price when 4 out of 5 make that their fifth most important element. So that's the most important thing. Create pricing that's based on the value you're providing people and do what good work. I think the best value is doing good work, and that promotes your sales and your brand.
Yeah, I think that to wrap it up, there's been this 4-part series, I feel like, that we've just been on. For those who are listening, go back to other previous podcasts. But I think that's a great way to wrap it up. We talked about the branding. We've talked about the marketing. We've talked about the advertising. And now we've discussed some time today about sales. And it all comes down to a process, a plan, a structure. How's your voice? What's your value prop? And it's one thing that Guy and I had talked about is having a process, but you're providing the human touch. And it's with Guy and what he was explaining today with the successes of his business, he had all of his processes in place. He had passion behind it. He had a team filled with passion. And with that being said, they didn't technically have what we would be a salesperson. They did such a great job leading up to that person picking up the phone, that a true quote-unquote salesperson's dream, because they were just delivering hot leads. The people already had made up their mind they were that quote-unquote dream client, that dream member, because they did their due diligence, they listened, they paid attention, and they came in open and ready and willing and able, and they just wanted to get their needs met in conversation, and they signed.
I'm gonna steal the clothes because you inspired me to say this. It all comes down to alignment, right? Your marketing, your advertising, your branding all have to be aligned with your company culture and your company mindset. When you get those all aligned and you really believe in what you do, the sales come naturally.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, Guy, anything left? I know we kind of overtook this conversation, and I love the input, because what's really unique about the two of you is we have the legal perspective, but we also have a tech entrepreneurial perspective with you, Guy, and you can bring in your non-legal expertise into the conversations as well. And I think it's helpful.
Okay. So this is my speed dating version of the last 4 podcasts. You need to build your brand, and there's various ways of building it. You can pay for advertising and do all that kind of cool stuff that we've discussed, or you can demonstrate expertise, which is what I've been talking about, and raise your profile through your team members and be seen as the experts in your community, in your sector. And if you do all that, then actually the sales process is quite easy, because all you're doing, really, people are approaching you. That's number one. You're hiring on the back of it, by the way, as well. We haven't mentioned that, but people will be watching what you're doing in the marketplace and go, that's a cool company. They're doing some cool stuff. I want to come and work for you. So it works in exactly the same way. They phone you and ask for a job. Do you have any jobs? We want to be involved in this thing that you're doing. And ultimately, you get the phone call, and all you're doing then is agreeing commercial terms. And you don't undervalue yourself at that point, because you have proved your expertise. As Dave said, The value proposition is really important. We've proved our value proposition. So you get the commercials over the line and that's it. You've done the deal. And then you go ahead and actually then you carry out what you've promised you're going to carry out, because then your reputation precedes you and referrals happen, and get a referral process in place.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. I think that's a perfect way to wrap it up. Gentlemen, as always, such great conversation. And I must say, I enjoy participating as well. So for everyone who's listening, this is the Legal Community Podcast. And if you'd like further information and see additional podcast topics, I know we touched upon previous conversations a lot today, you can always find them at guider.legal. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Legal Community Podcast. We'd love to hear from you. Visit us at guider.legal for more information, and please review and share this show. We'll see you next time.